Hallelujah. That felt good. You know what? We're lifting our voices with many people across our nation, across this nation of Canada. 7,100 people you heard meeting in a field. You know, not even a lot of notice given, but a field out west in Alberta. 7,100 people gathered together to worship God. A man by the name of Rodney Howard Brown coming from the United States to prophesy over our nation, to speak into Canada the word of the Lord. God even tricked us. I was praying the other day. I was having a quiet time, and I thought, Lord, you know, I want to fast. You know, I need to fast because it's such an important time and there's so much going on. So someone comes to me and they share with me something. I said, they wanted to fast for a day. I said, I'll fast with you for a day. I've offered to fast 10 days with people who are struggling with addictions. And I said, I'll fast with you. I'll spend those 10 days fasting, giving up food for 10 days. And nobody has taken me up on it. And then this person takes me up on it. And then they text me and say, well, actually, I'm doing 3 days. You know, and then I find out that across Canada, people are fasting and praying for 3 days, that this weekend is a very holy and very precious weekend for this nation of Canada. Aren't you excited to be here? You know, I love the nations. You know, I was praying the other day with a group of people, and it struck me for the very first time that when I was 17 years old, I wanted to be a missionary. My heart was to be a missionary. And then I remember where I was. It wasn't the audible voice, but it was close to it, where the Lord called me to the pastorate. And I had to go home and look it up in the dictionary. You know, what's a pastorate? Pastorate is the office of a pastor, you know. And so God called me to that. By His grace, He's allowed us to travel to several nations around the world for short-term missions. And Lord willing, next month or a month after next, Valerie and I will be in Guatemala for just a very short time. But my heart has always been to be a missionary. And then I go to Costco, or I go through Barrhaven, or I walk through the streets of Ottawa, or I look outside the window on Tuesday morning as we're praying at the school that meets at All Saints Lutheran, and I look outside and I see the nations. Right there, a group of young children from the nations, right there. And I'm saying, God, You're giving me my heart's desire, you know, to be a missionary to the nations. God has brought the nations here. Some of my best friends are from the Congo. They've become my dearest friends from the Congo, and also Nigeria and other nations of the earth. And now He gives us these Egyptians, these beautiful Egyptians that have Canada on their heart. Can you imagine that? They're praying for us. There are millions of people praying in Egypt. Egypt is experiencing some. We don't get much on the 6 o'clock news, right? You know, you've got to hear it elsewhere to know what God is doing in the earth right now. It's amazing. It's amazing. We've got some ingredients, some things we want to share in this service in the next little while that will bless your hearts. It'll bless your hearts. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. I'm going to give a few exhortations. I'm going to speak from the Word of God, and then I'm going to introduce you to a friend. You know, we're getting older, some of us. Not you, Sarah. You are young. But some of us are getting older, and we yield to something called our stamina. And you know, there is scripture, and I'm going to share it in a moment, that teaches us not to yield to our stamina. That we're not to yield to our stamina. Oh, I don't feel like it, or it's going to take energy to do this. It's going to take more than I'm willing to give. Let's put it that way. And God is challenging us in this hour to run a race. There's a race to be run. And if we will avail ourselves of it, there is a stamina that comes from Him. I want to introduce you to something from the Word of God that has blessed my heart. It's blessed the socks off my life. I told you the story with the interns. We're at Connecting Streams this summer down on Bank Street in Gladstone, where they have a courtyard, and the interns set up a table, and they were, and where's Joseph? There's Joseph. They're handing out food to people coming by, and we had boxes of it. You know, Lionhearts gave us boxes of fresh bread. You know, they were day-old bread, but fresh, pretty fresh. And we had, I'm telling you, boxes. Not one box, not two boxes, not three boxes. We had boxes of this stuff. We're on Bank Street, right across from a bakery, you know? Like, I guess the customers were few that day. Joseph, were they, you know, you had customers though, right? You had customers, but they were few, you know, giving out free bread right across from the bakery. But it was good, you know, and the interns gave out Bibles, and, you know, they offered to pray with people, and it was just a beautiful time. But then we're left with all these boxes. What do we do? So I call up my friend of the Salvation Army, and I say, can we drop them off? And they said, well, actually, you know, we're taken care of, you know, because they get daily deliveries. You know, secondhand bread, so they didn't need any bread. And so I called up this other friend of mine. I said, can we just set up a table? I know an apartment building, very big apartment building with people, the whole building, they're on social assistance, and they could probably use this, and we'll set up a table out front, and we'll just give it away. And my friend said, no, what you need to do, you go into the community center, and you approach the person in there, and you ask them if they'll accept this bread. So I was in the car, the interns, bold as lions, went in there. I prayed, you know, we prayed, and they went in there, and before I knew it, the director of the community Kidney Center's coming out. She's telling us that there's a camp going on. They have all these families, and they'll gladly distribute all this bread, you know. But, you know, we prayed. We prayed. I want to encourage you to pray. And that's why I set this up here, because I wanted to... Isn't that a beautiful color? That's like glory, right? The chair. That was my mom's chair, okay? So I could brag on my mother just for a few minutes, okay? She's in glory right now. And I could never relate to people who lost a loved one until my mom went to glory. And then I understood, you know, what it felt like to lose someone. But it also, you know what else it did? It made heaven all that much richer, you know? All that much richer. I'm not anxious to go. I don't want to get hit by a car. I don't want to die, you know, like today, you know, necessarily. But I'm ready to go because of Jesus. I'm ready to go. But the thing is, my mom's there. And as you know, many others of our friends and family are there. But this chair represents my mom. And she was an intercessor. She loved to pray. She loved to spend time with the Lord. And that was her chair. So I have that in my office. I don't bow down to it. It's not a relic of some sort. It's just a reminder, you know. It's a reminder of a great woman that loved to pray. And people went to her because they wanted her prayers. They knew that somehow my mom touched heaven, that her prayers touched heaven. So they would ask her, especially if they were looking for a spouse. That was her, you know, Norma, would you pray? And she would pray. So I have a little table up there and a Bible, and that represents the secret place. That represents an invitation to you and an invitation to me to the secret place. And I'm going to share with you a secret from the Word of God that is so powerful and transformative that you're going to be able to implement it in your life immediately. Okay? So here it is. We're going to start just in the Bible right here. And I have three portions. I've got to remember which one and the order I wanted to give them in. So Lord, help me. Pray for me. Isaiah 40. You know Isaiah 40? Very important. We all have an address. We all have an address. You have an address. I remember where I grew up, 175 Stanley Avenue. You remember where you grew up? We all have addresses. Every one of us has an address, a place where we live, a place where we abide, a place of shelter, a place of abiding. We all have an address. Well, I want to give you a new address this morning. The first is 91 Psalm Street. 91 Psalm Street. So 90 verse 1. Psalm 90 verse 1. 90 Psalm Street. So 90 Psalm Street says this: Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Another translation says our refuge. You have been our refuge throughout all generations. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Psalm 91. So this is now another address. If you didn't like that one, you can like this one, and you can be on Psalm Street. Your house number is 911. 911. That's a good one. 911. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I want you to remember the word dwell. Okay, dwell. Can you say it with me? I like these preachers. They get everybody talking. Dwell, dwell, dwell. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I want to say it again. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That word, to rest in the shadow, was often referred to as a king, a good king, a loving king, you know, a righteous king. And the people got to live under the shadow of that king. They lived under the protection of that king, the blessings and the generosity of that king. And it says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. You know, we're living in turbulent times, no question about it. The earth is blowing up all around us. You know, I get a news feed. There's one place I just check every so often. And it's not just because, and I don't go deeply into that news, but I want to know what's happened. What's happened overnight? What's happened overnight? And overnight, my news feed gave me the attack from Russia into Ukraine. You know, just a little bit I read was like, you know, one of the greatest attacks. And it was actually a U.S. factory that was blown up as well. But it was a severe attack. And so what I get from that, okay, without going into a lot of stuff, is that we need to learn to pray. We need to learn how to pray. We need wisdom in how to pray. You know, this is worthy of prayer. I mean, this situation in Ukraine and Russia is worthy of prayer. It really is. I mean, we're talking nuclear weapons. I'm not making this stuff up. You know about it. And I put this in my journal. I said, we need to learn how to pray. But then I put underneath in bold letters, we need to pray. Okay, yes, we need to learn how to pray, but we need to pray. You hear what I'm saying? We need to pray. So that's just one headline from this morning's news. And so you know that these are turbulent times. We know that the Bible says that men's hearts will fail for fear. There'll be this failing of hearts because of the fear that they're gripped with. And people are gripped with fear. We're not to be gripped by fear.
And the way that we avoid that is the secret place. Now listen, actually another translation calls it the secret place in Psalm 90 or 91. You can look that up in different translations, but the secret place. I like that secret place. Nobody knows, you know, that you've been there. But actually, they'll know after a while whether you've been in the secret place or not. They're going to know, you know. But because Lot comes out of that secret place. But listen to this. In Isaiah chapter 40, famous chapter, but I just want to start at verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? Your way is not hidden from the Lord. Nothing is hidden from the Lord. My cause is disregarded by my God. Your cause is not disregarded by your God. Especially as children of God, your cause, your life is not disregarded by your God. He sees you. He knows you. He loves you. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he will not grow weary or tired. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weary. Receive this right now in Jesus' name. Would you receive what he has for you? And I want to receive it too. I just want to get splashed on this morning. I want you to receive everything from God's word. He says this. He says he will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. This is what he does. He gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I want to read that last verse again, and I want to read it out of three translations. In the Hebrew, you can take a word, and the word has several meanings, right? And if they did it properly, I guess we'd have an amplified Bible. Like where we see the amplification of the word. And so in this translation, it says this. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It also says those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord will, and that's the one we're most familiar with, right? They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Now, so I want to put it in this order, and I want to just talk about this for a minute. But those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. We're not so good at waiting. Val says, in the Bible says, in 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient. She tells me once in a while, she says, we're still working on number one, Chuck. But, you know, I found another list where patience comes a little later. You know, like, so I got a couple of down, and, you know, I'm still working on this. Love is patient. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. This is the secret place. I don't know your life. You don't know my life. Maybe you know a bit about me, but you don't know me, and I don't know you. I don't know about your secret place. I don't know about that. But the world is going to know about your secret place. The people you have interaction with are going to know about your secret place. They're going to know whether you have a secret place, whether you are actually waiting on the Lord. And here's the key right here. I'm going to give you the key at the end. See if you get it here. Okay, here we go. They that wait upon the Lord, wait. Wait involves patience. It involves waiting. It involves more than that. It involves hope. We're in a place, we got a situation, we got many situations. I wake up every morning, you know, it's like the old saying, you go to bed, you're on top of the world, you wake up, the world's on top of you, you know. That's why I don't check my texts or emails right away in the morning, because man, or my newsfeed either. I don't check that first thing in the morning either. After my quiet time, I do. But listen, it says, they that wait upon the Lord, so there's a waiting involved here, there's a waiting. It says, they that hope in the Lord, they that hope in the Lord. You know, our hope is not vainly placed. The Bible says that they that hope on the Lord will not be disappointed. That's what it says. They that hope in the Lord will not be disappointed. There's a hope. In this secret place, okay, there's a waiting. There's a secret time. This waiting. And then there's this hoping. And then there's this trust. This trust. Now turn with me to John chapter 15 really fast. This is the last portion of Scripture, and then I'll give you the key. They that trust. They that trust. John chapter 15. This is a great portion of Scripture. I just want to read just a few verses. John 15, starting actually right at the beginning. Let's start at the beginning. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in me. Another translation, and I think I'll use the other translation, abide in me. That's most translations. A lot of them say that. Others say remain in me. Abide in me. And I will abide in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. My grandson, I told you this story, but he just a little guy, couldn't talk, and he's talking up a storm down there, you know, and I don't know exactly what he's saying, but I get down on his level and I look him in the face and I say, I don't know what you're saying, but the answer is yes. The answer is yes. And there's a relationship that we have with the Lord in the secret place. When we're truly looking to Him, when we're truly waiting, we're truly hoping, we're truly trusting. In that place, he gets down to where we are, looks us in the eye, and says, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. It's just beautiful, isn't it? The secret place. So here's the key. And I practiced this. Last summer was probably the monumental times in my life of seeing this actually work and how it's supposed to work. And now I practice it all the time, all the time. And it works like this. I was robbed of peace because I got anxious. I was robbed of peace, and I love peace. It's my all-time favorite fruit of the Holy Spirit. The peace of Jesus is unlike anything else. No drug on this planet, no high on this planet compares with the peace of Jesus Christ. Nothing compares with it. It's pure, it's beautiful, it's manifest. You can experience it, the peace of God. But I lost my peace. I was all anxious. 3 interns, 90 hours of work we had to fill last summer, okay? 90 hours of work. I was saying this to Val on the way in, and I'm thinking, I'm even making this story worse by saying 90. It's only 30 hours, but it's 3 people. So in my head, I said 90 hours, which it is. I mean, these guys, it's a total of 90 hours. What do we do? You know, what do we do for 90 hours a week? Like, what, you know, how do we keep these guys busy? What do we do? And I lost all my peace. And then I got into this place called the secret place. It's going to be hard to describe, but I'm going to let you to practice it just for about 30 seconds in a minute, okay? I'm going to let you practice this for 30 seconds. You get into this secret place and just began to wait on the Lord. You know, in that secret place, hope begins to rise. There's hope. There's something in the presence of the Lord that you're not going to get anywhere else. In fact, there's so much in the presence of the Lord that you're not going to get anywhere else. And then trust begins to rise. This is the key one, trust. Because what happens is, my lenses change, and I'm down there in that secret place, and all those things are still the same. They haven't changed, you know? The things that are burdening me, they're all the same. They're all still burdens. They're all out there. They're not fixed. There's no conclusion yet, you know? It's all just still a mess. But in that place, there's this trust, and it's like an exchange happens. And I come out of that place having trusted the Lord with all of this. When I came back from Bible college, I was so frustrated. I was working in a donut shop. Oh, I was going to tell all these stories, but there's something redemptive in this. But anyway, I was working in this donut shop, and it was the plan of the Lord that I be there, you know. There was a girl that came in at night, and she would just sit there very lonely. She would write in the donut shop. And one day she asked me, she knew I just graduated from Bible college and all that. And she said, well, what are you doing here, you know, graduating from? I said, I'm here for you. I didn't make that up, you know, I just thought that just came to me, those words, I'm here for you, you know, that God put me in that place for that time. But I remember driving my car, and I hope I was at a stop sign or a stoplight, but I distinctly remember raising my hands. I call it the prayer of surrender, and at that moment, I lifted my hands, and I wish I had documented the exact day, hour, and all of that, because within a very short time, it could have been day, a week, I mean, no matter where you slice it was short. The phone rang, and the door opened for us to go to Northern Ontario and pastor our first church. But it was after that prayer of surrender. So in the secret place, in that secret place, we get new lenses. And we begin to trust that the Lord Himself is going to take care of this. And again, I've just been living there. And I'm right to this morning, what happened this morning, I'll be sharing with you next week or another time. But something just happened. And it's still in development stages. So I want to wait before I give complete testimony to what happened. But it comes out of this place of waiting, of hoping, of trusting. There's an exchange takes place. So I can't go any further because I really need to show you this clip. We have to watch this. So that's all. I wanted to deposit that into your hearts, okay? But 30 seconds, I want you to practice it. So let's just close our eyes, just in our hearts. Right now, I just want you to take those heavier things that are weighing on your heart. They could be physical things. Some people are suffering in physical ways. Just it could be that. You can take several of them. So take your physical needs, take your marriage, relationships, money maybe there's financial issues, whatever it is, anything that feels heavy right now. And we just come into that secret place together right now and we lift. Would you just lift those before the Lord? Just kind of reach in, lift them up and deposit them before the Lord. Just deposit them right now. Just say, here they are, Lord. The Lord knows already, but just hand them over. Just hand them over. Lord, we wait on you. We hope in you. We trust in you. Amen. I want you in the next 3 weeks to give a testimony, okay? Give a testimony of what God does, okay? Let's just see what he does. I want to introduce you to Tommy Zito. This is amazing. You know, this is part of, I wish I could share all the stories because there's some miracles going on. In our country, what happened out west is not insignificant. To get over 7,000 people together like that, but there are gatherings happening all over our nation. I want to introduce you to Tommy. We're going to have 5 nights with Tommy and his team. He's got a team that are coming. I was talking to Kwanda. Kwanda actually reached out to me and she said, Chuck, thank you for opening your doors. You know, I just said, you know, the Bible says I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness, you know. So a lot of what's happened in the last number of years is simply that we at West Ottawa have opened our doors. We've said yes. And so Kwanda tells me this, but then I was reminded, I get back to her and I say, Kwanda, I remember your living room. I remember meeting Tommy Zito in your living room. You called a group of leaders together to meet Tommy Zito, and we met in his living room. And Tommy's been coming into the area for a few years now, but it's only now that the doors are bursting open. And I'll tell you, when I share the testimony next week, they're bursting way open. He is what this gentleman who's interviewing calls him a gift. Tommy is a gift. Rodney Howard Brown coming from the United States to Canada. You know what he did? Rodney said $50,000 ahead of himself. Like, he's coming to speak, you know? But he gave $50,000 American to this event to help with the food. $50,000. This is the heart of this man, Rodney Howard Brown, which Valerie and I really love. And I'm going to tell you why, too. There's many reasons, but I'll always love this man because of his sensitivity to the Spirit. I was in a meeting in Tampa, Florida, and Rodney was speaking, and I've only met him. I'm not his friend, you know. He's got a huge church, you know. I'm just not going to tell you who it is, but someone who's dearer than a brother to me was with me, and he was going through the most difficult time in his marriage. It was many years ago now, and he was there. He was a broken man, and Rodney called him out and said, come up here. And this man went up and he received such a touch of the Lord, and there was such compassion and love with Rodney. I love it. And so this man comes out of Rodney. He was trained up by Rodney Howard Brown. And you're going to hear some of what he's doing in our nation of Canada and the commitment that he's making to Canada. So on September 28th, for 5 nights, we're going to have revival meetings right here. And what these meetings are all about is you receiving all the bread and nourishment and blessings of heaven that could be carried out of this place. And during the day, several churches across the city are going to host training for evangelism during the day. And you'll hear more about that. So by day, they'll be training in evangelism, going out on the streets and elsewhere, whatever. But by night, it's a time for us to come together with the churches in Ottawa and to be refreshed, to be touched by God in such powerful ways. So it's going to be a great night and a great night starting September 28th. Please ask the Lord for the Isaiah 40 stamina to be here. Especially that first night, I believe, if you're there the first night. And I want to make a special invitation to a group of you that want to join in helping to host the Pastor's Supper at 5 o'clock on Tuesday. You get to be right in that meeting and hear Tommy speak to the leaders. So I consider you all leaders, so you can just see me and help me. We've got other churches involved bringing food and stuff, so you know, I'm not asking you to bring a lot of food, although I will. But enough of that. Tommy Zito. Let's meet Tommy Zito. I wanted to just say a few things really fast. First time I met him in Kwanda's living room, Mark and Kwanda, I was struck by a few things. His unusualness, like he's different, and his humility. Like I was struck by his humility. It was an honor to meet him. He's been welcomed into the city. Isaac Gimba called me up and said, Chuck, would you host him? And several of the churches that we relate to in the city have opened their doors for the training in the morning. But like he said, there are other churches that are going to burst wide open. Next week when I give a testimony, you'll see that even more are going to be drawn to these meetings than were expected initially. So wonderful things there. If you would put up Pauline Wilcox's picture, this beautiful First Nations lady from Golden Lake, she's going to be with us next Sunday. We love the First Nations. We love the First Peoples. She's going to bring a word from the Lord. She's coming next week. But we're also going to honor her. So we're going to have a luncheon. She's going to bring some of her friends. We've invited some of her friends to come along as well. So this is going to be amazing. That's Pauline Wilcox. I just want to conclude on this note from Isaiah chapter 40, just turning to it one more time, Isaiah chapter 40, and drawing your attention to this table, the chair. There's an open Bible on the chair. So part of what happens in the secret place is we hear. Read your Bible slow enough that you're listening while you're reading it and allowing the Lord to speak to you in that secret place. He'll use His Word. He'll just leap off the pages as we saturate ourselves in His Word and we spend time with Him. But make it a daily practice to spend time in the secret place. And as you do that, I want you to mark in your calendars September 28th. Now, we all have these calendars, and I keep reminding people. I'm part of a leaders group in the city, and I keep reminding everybody, you know, if you put it in your calendar, then when it's the day before the meeting, you can't let us know you're not coming because something's come up, you know what I mean? That's what these are for, these calendars. You put it in the calendar. So September 28th, if I were you, I'd put September 28th all the way to October 4th, which is the culmination on Parliament Hill. But you can start. If you do September 28th, then I guarantee you the Lord will do the rest. September 28th, but the stamina comes this way. The stamina comes from His strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope, those who trust, and those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I heard just recently a man was called to full-time ministry at the age of 74. He finally yielded to the call that God had in his life for full-time ministry at the age of 74. And then he came back to report 10 years later, and he was still going strong. In fact, he looked younger than he did when he left. So I'll leave that with you. Hallelujah. Lord, have your way in all of our hearts, Lord. Have your way in this hour, Lord God. Thank you for the secret place, Lord. Thank you that you were invited. Hebrews tells us that there's a way that's been made through the tearing of your flesh. Jesus, the tearing of your flesh on the cross made a way for all of us to enter by that blood through the forgiveness of our sins into the most holy place. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to forgive you of all your sins, if you've never asked Him to forgive you for your sins and to come into your heart, just do it right now. Just say, Jesus, I don't have to convince myself or you that we're sinners. We've all fallen short. We've all done things that are displeasing. And we say, Lord Jesus, would you forgive us for our sins? All of our sins, would you wash them away? And would you come into our hearts? Come into my heart. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then you're invited daily, hourly, into that secret place. Amen.